It's Sunday morning, August 22nd.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. Again, that your spirit would move, we would have truth lit up for us, Lord. Just do that work. Do that work. Illuminate your truth, O Lord. Illuminate it so that we could speak it forth. Illuminate it so that we could hear it and absorb it, Lord. Just do that sweet work, O Lord, that it requires your Holy Spirit to have done. Your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You have something to share with us today, Corky?
I was getting ready for Keith.
I was wondering if I needed to introduce Ken.
You want to introduce a new member today?
Welcome back.
I was just thinking, when I look in your faces, I see the love of Jesus, and it fills my heart. You were at a wedding, and there were so many un-Christian people there, and I could tell the difference just by looking in faces, and it just overwhelms my heart. I praise the Lord for that.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I had a bone scan this last week and met with the week before, I guess, and met with my cancer doctor here this last week. And things are getting better. I got less cancer or less whatever that it is that would show up on the bone scan than what I did before. The man gave me an A plus. He said,
Great.
Yeah. I told him I've been praying. He told me to keep doing it.
Of course. What works.
Yeah.
Susan, does it have a neck brace today?
Oh, I haven't had it for a while.
Oh.
But you've been going.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No. August 11th, they gave me the reprieve. Didn't have to have it anymore.
Oh.
So, I just... Yeah, so now I just have to build up my neck muscles. So I was afraid, you know, taking off of my head was just going to... No, muscles, it's strong. God is good.
Doing actually very well. Mm-hmm. You're doing actually very well.
Oh.
You're not even complaining about sore neck very much. First 2 days, maybe.
Yeah. And actually, I have a prayer request right away. My, you know how you have bestest friends growing up? And my bestest friend in 10th grade, okay, she's a couple years older than I am, and her husband moved to Florida. She moved to Florida a long time ago, and then she got married, and blah, blah, blah. They've been married for about 20 years. She called me 2 days ago, and her husband, Rod, has been suffering from diabetes for 20 years. And I was shocked because I'd never heard. I go, what? You know, 20 years? And she said, he never wanted to bother anybody with it. And he certainly didn't want to bother his family with it because a lot of people in his family had diabetes and been on various machines and stuff throughout the course. And he just didn't want to do that and didn't want to bother anybody. So his He's now basically dying. His liver's down to very little functioning. His kidneys, pretty much nothing. He called his brother, told him, and his brother's like, I'm going to fly out. And he goes, no, just remember me like I was. And it's a little hard on my friend Karen, but this is a path he chose. So the only path Rod has right now is for a miracle. God, just to give him all new liver and kidneys and take away everything. So otherwise he's just, I never heard of anybody just not wanting to bother anybody with their problems, because that's not how society works.
Is he on insulin, or he just wasn't taking it?
You know, I think he must have, if he had it for 20 years, he must have been taking insulin, but never talked about it. Mm-hmm. Never talked about it. And so she was very heartbroken. So, anyways, I'd like to just lift up Rod today. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You know, you can do anything you want. And, you know, we may be asking large, but that's okay, because we can do it. So, Lord, I'm just going to ask that you touch Rod right now, Lord, and just, you know, give him new stuff or repair the old stuff or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yes, Lord.
We know he's saved. We know where he's going. But it's sometimes harder on the people left behind. So give Karen the strength to go through this ordeal, or let them stand with testimonies blazing from here to Wisconsin with the wonderfulness. And I thank you, Lord, for a healing. Take away that curse of diabetes that's been in this family.
Yes, Lord.
Bring a peace and a healing to them, Lord. I'm just asking it in your name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
When Courtney played that last song, You Raised Me Up, it was sort of like God was saying, I've raised you guys up to stand on mountains.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
And you've only been climbing the hill. You need to stand on the mountain. Because that's where we're being called to as Christians, to be. We need to stand on that mountain. We need to proclaim what the Lord has said in us and has for us. It's a hard time in the whole world right now. And if we can be his beacon that he asks us to be, then we need to climb that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And walk on water. Mm-hmm. And do all the things he's asked, because he never asked us anything that was impossible. So, we have to claim it in his name. Start climbing that mountain if you haven't already, and get on that mountaintop and raise your hands and just let him know that you're a willing vessel, because that's what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done now.
Well, that's true. That's true. That is true. We have felt stirrings over the years, stirrings to proclaim our unique access to the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you felt that, yes, this is not something that should be kept in a bushel basket, kept under a bushel. It needs to be put on a lampstand, whatever. We have felt that truth also gives us access to power, and that power should be used.
Yes.
You know, not just sit there on the shelf, should be used. Now, we haven't done a lot of that stuff. But just because we haven't done a lot of that stuff is no reason why that should be continuing. Yeah. Let's not make it happen in our own strength, in our own, because we think it's a good idea. But boy, we get prompted. Mm-hmm. We get a poke in the ribs from the Holy Spirit. We better respond to it. Whether it is a matter of proclaiming truth, or it is a matter of having His power exercised through us, those things should happen in His time. I'm not, announcing what He needs to do. He's the one that decides what He needs to do. But let's not have that stuff slip past us.
Well, I believe we each have our own mountain to climb, and yep. Our own pathway up that mountain. And we're not all on the same mountain yet, but I think we will be when we hit the top.
Yep.
There's many paths going up that mountain,
Very true, because I know I'm still towards the bottom, still working my way up.
You might be a little further up than you recognize here, Joe. You might.
Well, at least you're going up.
Yeah, I'm still going up.
The direction is right.
Yeah. And you're on the mountain.
You have a vision to climb and not just sit.
Oh. Yep.
And you know, it's not your pace, it's God's pace that takes you up the mountain.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe think you're climbing it by yourself, but if you do, one step forward, two steps back. Attitude, you can't do it alone.
No.
But never underestimate the fact that God may throw a rope over and grab onto you, and you might be right on that mountaintop before anybody else.
Right.
He's working faster in these days than he used to, so we see a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
Scripture, I don't know where it is, but I love it. It's in somewhere in the Old Testament. It talks about the people who are harvesting the seed, catch up with the people that are sowing the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense in the natural. But it, the Lord's sense of timing can be all real odd in that very way. The reapers catch up with the sowers.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? It's kind of like the Afghan army and the will.
Well, I think Barb brought up something interesting that we should all take into heart, that during these troubled times, I would have a very difficult time coping if it wasn't that I was had a bigger God than what's going on around me. You like to think that we can fix things. We're going to fix this, or we're going to help that, or our country's going to fix this or help that. And when you realize that we're not in charge, that God is, and you take your comfort and your strength in that, you can bring a peace to people, to yourself and to those around you, when they recognize that, you're not going nuts over what's going on. And the craziness doesn't impact you. Because looking to a bigger goal.
Amen. Amen.
And hopefully it's the diligently seeking the Lord each and every day, looking for truth, and having a heart to find that truth. And it's going to, as one of the songs we played, let people see God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And let them be comforted by that, and let that provide a sense of peace to them when they recognize that they don't need to be so panicky over whatever's going on.
God is in control.
God is in control. Amen.
He may not like what he's doing. He's still in control, and he knows what's best. Above and beyond.
Well, it's kind of, you know, to bring that another way to look at that, I'm sure the Egyptians were not at all happy with this guy Moses and what he was bringing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a people that were unhappy. Now, God's people, they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take and look at that. There are people who are unhappy with what's going on because that's the way God is going to do it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, the more there is, the world is full of crazy chaos, the more the arm of man is revealed to be inadequate to the situation we're in. It is simply the time for the Spirit of the Lord to show a better way. It's simply the time for that to happen. And we're called to be his hand extended. And I just think it is a great time to be a Christian. It's a great time for it.
I was reading in John this morning and I remembered seeing this. It just seems like it would be fitting right now. Chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them, or should I say us, out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. So, no matter what it looks like, if we believe that we are his, he'll keep us from the evil one. Now, he may not keep you from tribulation and whatever is going on in the world, but that's the guy I'm the most concerned about, you know. And he says, you know, I'm not going to just necessarily rescue you out of the world, you know, but I'm going to give you the strength and power to be able to be in it and not taken down, you know. So, it's a pretty good promise, or actually, I guess you'd say a promise. I mean, he spoke it as truth, you know, that, and all through that, that's, I was reading from 13 to chapter 18, and that setting of chapters is just amazing. I mean, if you sit and read them, it's like, I'm in them, and you're in me, and we're in, you know, we're all, you're in God, just like Jesus is in God. It's, you know, glorify them and you've glorified me, you know. So there's some pretty strong, encouraging words there of truth of who we are in him. And then I don't recognize it most of the time, you know. I just read over it or whatever it is. Oh, yeah, that sounds really good. Am I incorporating it every day? No.
I think if it were otherwise, oh, we would be a little confused. We think we were pretty darn good when good things happen. When we know our own inadequacy, hey, anything good is happening, not on account of we did it so darn well. That is just a much better place. And we're not going to know that lesson unless we have been inadequate. prior
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
We're not going to know it. We're going to think, oh, yeah, we did. We were good. I mean, we know better than to say that. You know, we're not stupid. But that doesn't keep us from thinking it in our own head.
We're
know.
Not going to brag about the fact we're good.
No. But, yeah, we'll pretend to give God all the glory. In our heads, we'll be taking plenty of the glory ourselves. Unless the Lord really makes that something that you just, that just ain't going to work.
You know, something came to me here. I've been, you watch YouTube and you hear about what's going around the world weather-wise or different stuff, you know. And he, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. First it flooded, hurricane, earthquakes again, you know. And so I kind of went, yeah, there's just so much voodoo and all that stuff there. But all of a sudden I was sitting here this morning and I went, Lord, that's of you, then let's pray that there's a people that recognize they need to come and ask you for forgiveness. You know, that the catastrophe leads them to you. Instead of just saying, yeah, they deserve to be punished because they're ungodly. You know, that's not really the way we want to look at it. I don't want to, and I was looking at it that way, you know, and all of a sudden it was, well, you know, whenever he does something like that, it's usually because he wants somebody to come to him. You know? It's like in Revelation and stuff, and the hailstones are falling down and everything, and some of them stood there and still cursed him. But there were some that, in one part of the Revelations there's some that do respond to the fact that they realize, maybe we've been disobedient, you know? And that's why God is getting our attention.
Maybe we've done something not right.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe at the end, let's pray for that country. Because there's got to be good people there. And I'm sure he's trying to reach somebody, you know. It's not just to wipe them out, necessarily, you know.
Amen.
So they didn't get it. I mean, this isn't the first thing either. They've had catastrophes almost every, what, 3-4 years or so, kind of, you know. I think that would start getting somebody's attention.
Yeah, you know,
maybe if we pray, that's how, you know, God will allow them to respond. You know, like, we'll awaken their conscience, you know, their whatever, so convict them, you know, instead of.
It's a funny place. They're on an island that they share with another country. The Dominican Republic is on the other side of the island. Well, I don't think the Dominican Republic has all sorts of earthquakes and everything. Maybe they have trouble with hurricanes. They probably do. But, you know, it's Haiti that has earthquakes.
Yeah.
And that is mighty strange. One island only... The Haiti side is the one that with earthquakes.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they've been some earthquake damage over the Dominican Republic that hadn't been significant enough to make the news, but or something different's going on. Tens of thousands of people died from earthquakes in Haiti.
Forest fires through wiping cities out one after another. I mean, it used to be just spotted. Now let's take the whole county.
Yeah, it's never really took out a whole town before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just recently.
Mm-hmm.
California?
Well, I think, yeah, California, I think, that is the one where the town got totally burnt down. But, I mean, they're up in Canada.
They didn't stop it.
No. They're up in Canada, and they're in...
Minnesota?
Western Washington, I think, or whatever. There's fires all over Idaho, up by the border there.
Maybe we need to pray for all disasters to come to, and that God wants them to, to bring whatever. And then COVID.
You gotta wonder what it's gonna take to turn your face to God. I mean, a few years back, Susan and I went to Washington and looked at all the monuments, and I think the one thing that stood out to me more than anything else was how prevalent God was among our founders. And I think, as I watch how we are moving away from God as a nation in lots of little ways, it kind of reminds me of the Old Testament and how kings would not follow God's laws, and then how long would that go on before God basically corrected that behavior. And you wonder... Well, it's scriptural. How long will God ignore people, our people, who want to ignore Him?
Mm-hmm. And then the big one happened after the events of the Bible are reported. There in 70 AD, when the center of all of Jewish religious life was just destroyed, the temple was destroyed, the Jews were dispersed throughout the whole world, but they certainly weren't in Jerusalem anymore. The very heart of Judaism was ripped out. They were cast all over every place. And for some reason, it doesn't make any sense that if that happens to people, they wouldn't be just snuffed out. They would be, you wouldn't expect them to survive that. All the other tribes of the world, something like that happened. Hey, there's no more Sumerians or whatever. It just doesn't happen. But we still have Jews. And then they all came back together again. They're in Israel today. So, yes, it is God's way to have consequences for straying from Him, but that doesn't mean that we stop being part of His family. That continues. That continues.
It's interesting, John, when you said, with all the things happening, like in Haiti and stuff like that, doesn't it get somebody's attention? Well, unfortunately, it has gotten someone's attention. The devil. He lives here, and he's the only one paying attention apparently right now. And maybe, and it falls onto the Christians, but we should refrain. You know, I will confess, I do not. I barely know what's going on in the world. I just, not because I've been, sticking my head in the ground. It's just because mostly I'm asking quirky questions like, is California in the central, or is it, I'm so limited. I'm so like, where is this? And when you said Haiti shares an island, I'm going, I didn't know that. So, I confess, okay, this is all. But the devil's eyes are open. He sees everything that's going on. And it's the rest of us that need to be paying attention to and praying. If it's on your heart, just pray, mm-hmm. Because people will turn away when they don't know what else to do, rather than turning towards. It's easier to hide in your basement, closet, alone, going, why me? Why this? Why is this happening to me? Rather than standing outside going, okay, God, let's have a one-on-one. Why me? And continuing before the Lord rather than, it just seems good to get out there and ask him. Because he's got the answers.
Maybe we should just have a new fashion prayer.
So let's have a new fashion.
New fashion for me.
Prayer is always good.
Oh yeah.
That's what's gotten me through many, 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 many trials that I would not have gotten through without. Because he always meets me in my prayer closet. He's there with me. More real than just walking around, But when I'm in my prayer closet, he's there in full force. Because I'm concentrating on that.
People make those statements like, I don't know where I'd be today without prayer. Well, I don't know where I'd be today without prayer. I mean, it's so true that I personally have seen God, me one way and then a flip of a switch, I'm totally another way. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I didn't do it.
How that happened.
I didn't do it. And so it's like, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for caring enough about me to have other people pray for me and me even pray for myself, which is just as important, But sometimes you need a little help. You need that vitamin C infusion.
Two or three praying together.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus gives us examples.
Yes.
Of how to pray. And when I was in the hospital, I was just reading out my Bible, and it opened up to John 17.
Oh.
John,
17?
And I used to wonder, where it says that God's chosen, he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm fortunate he chose me, but what about those people he doesn't choose? And then I realized when I was reading in John, that first Jesus prayed for himself. His first prayer was his self. Then he prayed for the disciples, which were his chosen.
Yeah.
They were chosen by God for Jesus as his disciples. Then he prayed for everybody else. And that kind of answered a question, because I always thought, well, what if he hadn't chosen me? You know, but I realized that the chosen were the disciples. The rest of the people, he draws. But you don't have to be chosen, because you can still accept him, even if, you know, you're not a disciple per se.
Right.
And I struggled with that for years until I finally saw that. But his instruction on how to pray, first for yourself, and then for your fellow Christians, and then everybody else. So that entails everybody.
Yeah.
You know? Which I fail to do sometimes when I try.
So it's good just to remember to pray.
Yeah.
Prayer meeting Friday night, and it was good to see Steve come back. Yeah, years ago, Steve was the one that he lived across the road here, and I think he called Clark Hughes. I'm not sure. The church group bought 10 acres of scrub pines, and they grew up into big scrub pines. I think about the only thing we can do with them is eat them.
Actually, with Barbara sharing, he doesn't necessarily pray for the whole world. And, well, I'm just going to read this to see how you take it.
Where is this?
This is in John 17. I'm going to start at 16 and read now. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So, you know, it's he's praying for the ones that are going to come to him later. You know, and that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
That does raise a question about what the world will do with that knowledge.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they went out and they spread the word, and he prayed for those who will believe in me through their word. So those who will believe the word when they hear it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When it's presented to them. Which may, you know, like we're talking, be some people in Haiti, you know, and some people other places in the world where there's stuff going on. But somebody will present the word and they'll believe it, you know. I was sitting here too, I kind of got convicted that I've probably had opportunities here quite a bit in the last couple of weeks and have not taken advantage of them. to pray for a couple of guys, you know. But I'm going to be really open to that from this point forward, because I think they're becoming close to right, you know. It's because there's just things going on in their life that I should have been saying, hey, you want me to pray for you about that? And I just haven't. I've been kind of numb or something, you know, for that. I don't want to be that bad. So I'm going to try to keep a little more vigilant, you know, vigilance on when I'm around and look for the opportunity.
It's always easier not to pray than it is to pray. My experience has been, and not that I take every opportunity that was ever presented to me, I don't, but when I have, people are kind of surprised. But never, never, never have they said, oh, no, don't do that. You know, it's always happy to, yeah, pray for it. You know, that's always the response.
I found sometimes they'll say yes even though they want to say no. But that's okay. If you say yes, then that's a yes.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to appear, you know, to not want prayer or anything, because most people know that it's good, I think, you know.
Yeah, even the ones who don't believe. I can say that for in our family, for it's the ones who don't believe, don't call us up and go, could you pray about this? And we're going, sure. We'd be happy to, even though, you know.
They don't believe.
Right.
Yeah. But they believe your prayers get answered.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And Charlie, I think you're right, because when you, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, you're in a situation, you're just chatting, and then you go, oh, we want to pray about that. And I think it's the element of surprise to some extent, going, oh, sure, you know.
How can I say no?
Well, and maybe that's how God's just going to work for that person,
it's
because it's the sneak attack.
It's a little sneak attack. They work.
No, I mean, because it might have been the last thing they were thinking about. And then when you say it, it's the first thing that they're thinking about.
Is it getting warm in here, or is that just me?
I feel comfortable.
So it's a little warm, from, you know.
Do you?
I'm always.
You're in long sleeves, okay.
I'm warm when it's 65 degrees, and I'm not warm. I just think the Holy Spirit's working on you.
Yeah.
I'm not warm. Anybody else?
Me.
No, you're warm?
You two are always warm.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always.
They're Peters. Look at them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually cold.
It always seems so odd, so weird, when you hear someone tells about some bad situation in their life, health or some other thing. It's always so odd just to say, well, that's too bad, you know, and then not do something about it, like praying.
Yeah.
that's a mighty odd reaction.
Yeah. Your choices are, when you hear bad news, is to say, sucks to be you, or you can say, well, let's pray about that.
Right.
And part of the world doesn't know about it. Let's pray about it.
Right.
I was, as Susan was saying, you know, one of the things that maybe that happens if you say, let's pray about it, but you don't make it a big deal, like you don't stop and look for that melodramatic pause. You know, we could pray, but if you just kind of like, oh, let's just pray about it. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. God's there, right there. You know, and I think sometimes that catches people off guard. Like,
sure.
Oh, is that easy of a thing to do? You mean you could just do that? You don't have to, like, go to church.
Wait for Sunday morning.
Wait for a couple of hours. You don't have to earn your way into asking. That catches a lot of people off guard.
It would be a little funny to get down on your knees, put your hands together there. And,
yeah.
But,
the prayer works.
On the other hand, if I did all that and God answered me, I wouldn't be have a problem with it either.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you have not because you prayed not.
Right.
And John, Jesus says, if you, whatever you ask in my name, mm-hmm. I'll give it to you.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm.
I read that story and I just went, I wonder. It's like, you know, we put qualifications in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, isn't there another scripture that says something like, the only reason your prayer doesn't isn't fulfilled is because you lack faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a given that if you're just asking for things for yourself to make your life, you know, like luxury or whatever, that's not what he's talking about.
So
you know,
you ask him this. We should not ask him this.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I please win the Powerball this week?
And you know, so yeah, I mean if we sit here, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Win the football game, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, if we sit here and ask, you know, when people come and they have a request, then we should really, truly believe that when we put it before him, he's going to answer it one way or another somehow, you know?
Sometimes he says no.
Yeah. I mean,
or not yet.
Or not yet.
Yeah. What was it, Josh?
I said, or he says no, or not yet.
Yeah.
It could be not yet.
Yeah.
Or no.
But he will
not ready yet.
Yeah. In his time, yeah.
Or maybe the person praying for him is not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Either way.
I do think of what Keith says, though, and that is that on the occasions when he has seen the most remarkable miracles are instances in which he is as surprised as anybody else was that this thing happened, you know, the time with Caden's, what was pretty obviously a broken bone, multiple broken bones there in the ankle, or when, you know, when what's his name was healed of nephritis,
Jerome
Wiginius, you know. He wasn't, yeah, there was no great expectation ahead of time that, oh, yes, the Lord will, you know. Nope.
They didn't walk in going, we know he's going to be healed. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
just stay
yeah.
here for, I don't know, 10 minutes and, you know. It wasn't that.
Nope, no. He did not do a Charlton Heston on the...
No. No.
And I think that is the difference between Jesus praying to the Father and us praying to the Father. We literally come in with the expectation of, I don't know. Jesus said, I know. And therefore,
yes.
It happened. And that's the place we want to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to overcome everything we've learned. To overcome our brain, have to overcome the past. I mean, God forgets our sins. We don't.
Although, you know, there is a question about what Jesus knew and what he didn't know.
Sure.
At the marriage of Cana, he didn't seem to know, you know, at least too much in advance.
Yeah.
So we who knows what Jesus knows?
I think one of the key things there is he had such a, what do you call it, a close relationship with his father that at any time his father could say something that he knew,
yeah.
You know? And we should have the same attitude in a way, probably. You know, I mean, you could try to get to that place where we're totally relying on the Father. Yeah, and I don't think he did know right at the point there when his mother spoke. But 5 minutes later, he knew. Their Father enlightened them, you know.
Right.
Or said, now you can heal, you know. Or I mean, do a miracle.
He knew what he needed to know.
Yeah. And then a lot of other times, it's kind of like the Lord let, or I mean, the Father let him read people's minds, you know, the Pharisees and such.
Seems to have, yeah.
You know what they were thinking, and then he would give a parable or something, you know, and address it.
It's dark until you turn on the light.
Yeah.
Turn on the light, and then it's light.
And he did the same with Paul and Peter and, you know, different ones. When you get that closeness, then, you know. Oh, one other little thing I came across not this week, a while back. I thought, man, where would I be in this? So Paul is preaching, and they don't like it, and they stone him. Now, how would you like to get stoned until you're about dead, and then you get revived by people praying for you? I mean, it's like, man, you know? That's
Or Eutychus have said in the window.
Yeah, Paul. I've
been known to be a long-winded preacher, but Paul must have been just in bed.
Never lost anybody out of windows, though, have you, Keith?
No.
Mm-hmm. But I think Ken brings up a really good point. I often think about it in different aspects, but you can be doing really, really well. And your reward for doing really, really well is you're going to be tested and tormented, potentially. Trial and tribulation can come upon you, and it's because you're doing so well.
Because you don't look so well.
Well, doing so well, I mean, whenever I try and get myself out of feeling bad for myself, and I can do that, mm-hmm. I just think of Job. I mean, Job got the heat because he was doing so well.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing so well, he brought attention to himself, and the enemy said, hey, well, anybody's doing that well. God says, hey, no problem.
Take
after. Just can't do this. Yeah, so, Job, you know, your reward for walking right is going to be a lot of tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all fairness, and not to be cynical, God settled up, and his reward was twice what it was in the Quran. But he had to go through it, though.
A lesson for the devil. Mm-hmm. It was to defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is the one that brought, well, sure, he's living so high. Of course he's going to think you're okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord says, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring him down.
I know his heart.
Yeah. And he's still going to be true to me in the end.
And he was.
Yeah.
And he was.
And he was.
And after all of Job's trials, he said that he never charged, he never sinned or charged God foolishly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, God did give him heads up, going, Job, I just want you to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, just hang in there, buddy.
It wasn't that. It was purely on what Job had been communing with the Lord and feeling with the Lord that he's going, okay, if this is the trial, I'm so be it. And all of his good friends going, hey,
What did you do?
Yeah, curse God and die. Come on, you know.
That was his wife, yeah.
Yeah, oh, his wife, yeah. I felt there were some good friends in there.
Well,
they were friends.
They were good friends.
They were trying that he sinned also.
Yeah,
yeah, everybody was so willing to tell him what to do, and he's like,
in charge of his sin because.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here on an ash pile with boils and whatever, and I'm not.
You're wrong, Joel.
Yeah, I'm not giving up because God is God.
And I know I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about your role. I mean, yeah, he kept getting healed, but he could have been feeling just great all the time in those leading up to that.
Yeah.
He had something wrong with him, so obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept enduring,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, well, isn't it true? He must have had, unless he didn't have any symptoms, he just got kept him from that. But I find that hard to believe.
Are there new friends?
Yeah, is a friend.
No, he had 14 operations of his kidneys.
And
yeah.
He had, what, cancer?
Yeah.
How many times?
So you got to be feeling some pain along the way.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I know more about the kidneys. I mean,
the
his kidneys were failing
yeah.
him.
He had gotten,
and
the Lord gave him brand new kidneys.
Brand new kidneys.
How many times? I don't remember.
And he had so many other things. I mean,
yeah.
It, yeah.
And he'd go around to other countries preaching.
And praying for people.
Praying for people, yeah.
Okay, who was that?
Jerome.
Oh, Jerome.
Yeah.
I was just explaining to them who Jerome was because we're talking about somebody and I don't
think he had a heart attack in Russia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In Russia, of all places.
And they thought he was dead. And he started breathing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think we ever met him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was here several times.
I think we did see him. I think he came.
Yeah.
I think we seen him here
really close.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So but the story is
yeah.
his story.
Well,
is something.
Close friend of Keith and Joanne.
Right.
That's good. All the time. God is good even when it doesn't seem that he's good. And that's the lesson I've been learning. This doesn't look good, but it is.
He has a plan.
This doesn't seem right, but it is good.
In the end, we don't know why, but right now we don't necessarily.
Kind of like Joe.
Yeah.
Have faith.
Have faith. Maybe don't want to serve anybody else.
Love you all.